So we're at the letter Beis on page that has Shin Samach Zayin at the top. Sorry? Okay. It's not the same sheet as the last time. Same sheet. Yeah. So what we have here is a topic which I would not have expected to be as complex as it turns out to be. And that's the issue of contact lens solution on Shabbos, which I don't wear contact lenses, and so I just kind of assumed, well, you know, people do it and they're fine and whatever. But it's actually not straightforward. The piece from the Shulchan Aruch at the top of the page says, Mutter lahashkos es hatalush kedei shelo yichmosh. If you have vegetables that have been picked from the ground, they were picked before Shabbos, they're fine, and you want to wet the vegetables in order to keep them from getting yucky. That's the technical term, yichmosh, in Hebrew. So you're allowed to do so. And why is it that the Shulchan Aruch needs to say that? Why would I have thought otherwise? Why might I have thought that this was a problem, that the Shulchan Aruch needs to say that you're allowed to wet the vegetables? So there are two possible concerns offhand. Concern number one would be that this is like planting, in the sense that you're using water to irrigate a plant in order to keep it fresh. So maybe somehow this is like when you water plants that are in the ground. Even though it's no longer alive, nonetheless, you are refreshing the plant and maintaining it. That's one thought that I might have had. The other thought I might have had is that this is mitaken, that you are fixing it. In other words, you're keeping it in an edible form where it otherwise would have become inedible. So maybe there's some level of improvement. That's what I might have thought. But the Nishmas Avram doesn't explore that. He explores the topic of keeping contact lenses wet. And he is going to have several issues to explore within this discussion. The first issue that he's going to need to explore is the issue of mitaken, the issue of whether you are fixing the lenses, some way making them functional when you put them in solution. And then the other issue that he's going to explore is the issue of kibbutz, the issue of laundry. In other words, you're washing something to make it usable. So that will be the second concern that he's going to have to look at. Part of this is going to require some understanding of how contact lens solution works. In other words, what is contact lens solution doing for the lenses? I don't know if any of you are experts in contact lens solution. But is it to clean them? Is it to keep them moist? Is it actually hydrating them? Yeah.
Because I've worn them since I've been 14 years old, probably.
Okay.
So what is that you have to keep them reasonably hydrated, right? And your eyes, they can dry out and overnight, very nice. But it's a normal saline solution, so it's not... It's like that's just for the proper hydration. And there's cleaning fluid, which is, some people have their specific cleaners, which is different. And then there are the sterilization solutions that you can have to try and, you know, make sure that there's no bacteria or something like that.
So
some of the solutions contain all of them in one.
It's also, when you put it in saline, does it expand at all? Like, does it absorb it?
It may change a little bit. We're talking about soft lenses now, which are pretty much all.
Yeah, talk about soft lenses.
And I think if you had to actually measure it, it would be not different. Like, I don't think it swells up to the thing that you could actually see it differently. But it can be a little bit when they're dry, when they're really dry, they become a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put them in saline, they do soften a little bit, and they change a little bit the shape.
Interesting.
So the shape becomes a little bit more concave like that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you if they get dry, they sort of just take whatever the shape is at that point when you pull them out, so they can be sort of like that on
frozen glass, in whatever shape.
So it can be a slightly different shape, and it can, you know, they can feel dry.
Got it. Okay, but let's see what he does.
I would never, by the way, I never would even have thought.
Yeah, no, neither would I. Until I saw it here, this was new to me. So he says, adashot maga, which, as we said last time, is the term for contact lenses, technically contact lentils, I suppose, but Adam hamarkiv adashot magar rakot, a person who wears soft contact lenses. Sarach kol pam shu morido san achnisam lachomer ad shechozer laharkivan. So when he takes them off, he has to put them into a medium until he's going to put them back on. Vishal moi rabbi hagon Rav Neuwirth shlita lemarenu v'rabbeinu hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So he says Rav Neuwirth asked Rav Shlomo Zalman the following question. Im asur lasos kein b'shabbos mishum tikun mana. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos, to put it into solution, or is this an issue of tikun mana, of improving, fixing a piece of equipment? V'dibarti im mumcha. So I spoke with an expert. Sha'amar li shamataras hachomer hu lishmor al retivus ha'adasha im ktsas chomer chitur k'delenakosan. So the expert said to me that the main function or the main content of the of this medium is material that's there, liquid that's there to keep them hydrated, along with some level of disinfectant that's there in order to clean them. But it isn't that, it's actually adding to the moisture of the lenses, where you're introducing hydration as much as that you're maintaining the level of hydration that is present. That's what the expert that he consulted told him. Now I'm wondering as I read this, because I found out that a year ago he published a new edition of this with additions and changes and corrections and so forth. So I wonder if there's anything new in the realm of contact lens technology.
How old was this?
Right, so this edition, I believe, is about 8 years old. It's I mean, he mentioned soft lenses specifically.
I mean, there are lenses for instance, that some you use for a year and you put them in all the time. And there's some that you just use for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like more disposable, right?
Right.
And I think the water content or something is a bit different.
Right. But is there an idea that with either of them, the lens solution that you put them in is actually going to be increasing the hydration within the lens, being absorbed within the lens?
Whether there are any that they actually put on that they leave it in overnight.
I should have brought it.
So I have a question, because I've just been away. I know sometimes after a very long day, your lenses are so dry, it's almost like they drop out of your eye, and they're stuck one side to the other. Now, I presume when you put them in solution, I don't know whether they absorb liquid or whether it's the liquid that coats the surface.
Right, so he's going to get to this a little bit.
Okay.
So we'll see what he does with it. It is going to be an issue. V'amar lanu ha-gaon zatzal. So when Rav Neuwirth asked the question to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shlomo Zalman's answer was, Shemuter la zozos, that you're allowed to put the lenses in the solution, right? Heavy sigh of relief. V'ein zat doma l'luluf. He says, this is not like the concern with a luluf. What are we talking about with a luluf? So if you take a quick look at the side sheet, I brought you, just on the top line, the three issues that are involved when we're talking about placing a branch or a lulav in water on Shabbos. So the first issue is muktza that has to be resolved, meaning your lulav is designated for the mitzvah of lulav. Therefore, it's muktza on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there is no mitzvah, so I can't handle my lulav on Shabbos. Or if I find a branch on the ground on Shabbos, the branch is muktza because it had no function on Shabbos. So the only type of branch that would have any issue, any possibility of inserting it into water on Shabbos would be, let's say I had a floral arrangement that had, and when I say branch, don't think tree branch necessarily. It was, you know, any sort of stem with flowers on it, and it was in water, let's say, when Shabbos started. I had it in the house. It was all purchased beforehand and there beforehand, but then it fell out of the water on Shabbos. You know, it wasn't balanced properly and it fell out. And now I want to put it in water on Shabbos. It's not muktza because I had already had it there as a display, and it's even a display I plan to move around from place to place. I get rid of all muktza problems. There are two other issues. One issue is what I called here tircha strain, although we're going to have to modify that as we go. But theoretically, am I straining for this in some way? And then the third issue is zriya o tikun. Which really what I should do is eliminate tircha, because really tircha was there by mistake initially. Let me get rid of tircha. And the second issue is zuria, which is planting. In other words, by putting it in water, am I now planting it? Is it going to cause further life for the branch and for the flowers that are on it. And then third is tikkun mitaken, fixing it. So those are the concerns that I have with the idea of putting the lulav in water. So now Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, you're not allowed to do the lulav in water, but you are allowed to do the lens in water. What's the difference? So back in the Nishmas Avram, he says, "Ve'ein zeh doma lulav." This is not like a lulav. She'ein lamalos kli imayin kedei lanicho bo b'Shabbos. You are not supposed to fill a vase with water in order to put the lulav in it on Shabbos. V'lo machlifin es hamayim b'yom tov, and you're not allowed to change the water on Yom Tov. Ki hamayim mosifin chius lulav. The problem there is a problem of zoreya, of planting, because what you're doing is extending the life of the lulav. You're not simply maintaining the lulav in its present state. You're actually extending its life by putting it in water. There's an issue of, in fact, you know, adding to its lifespan. Ach, im ha'adashot nisharu b'chutz. Actually, no, let me pause before the ach. Take a look, please, at source Beis on your sheet. That's where they discuss the lulav in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, talking about Yom Tov, mekabelas isha halulav miyad bina o miyad ba'ala. A woman, when the husband comes home from shul, we're assuming that the husband is the one with a lulav and that the wife doesn't have a lulav. That's why it's recorded in this way. The same thing would apply if it was her own lulav. But the woman receives the lulav, umachziras olamayim, puts it back in the water, the tosif olamayim im tzarech, and she can add water to it if she wants. Avalo tachlif hamayim, but she should not replace the water altogether. Ubachalamoid mitzvah lachlifim kadeshi shor lach lahadur. Chalamoid, it's better to change the water. It'll be better for your lulav, he says. Leave the botany aside as to whether fresh water actually does something different than the old water. But in source Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, avalo tachlif, but don't change the water. Ditarachu litakune mana. So this was very funny. I had a problem with this line. I had assumed that tarachu takune mana means that it's hard work to prepare the kli. Meaning if I have a vase already, and there's already water in it, and all I want to do is add some water, so that's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm going to start from scratch, there's a lot of work involved, especially pre-indoor plumbing. And therefore, that's something I shouldn't be doing on Yom Tov. I thought that was the concern. That's why I wrote Tircha as one of the items on top. However, that didn't seem to fit the discussion as he goes along here, because he says the concern with adding water for the lulav is that you're going to keep the lulav alive. Not a concern about how much tircha, how much strain is involved. Literally, the words in the Mishnah Berurah are, it is a tircha, it's a strain, to prepare the implement. So I couldn't understand. So I wrote to him about this and about a couple of other problems that I had within the text, and he wrote back to me explaining. When the Mishnah Berurah says tarachu l'takune mana, that doesn't mean it's a strenuous thing to prepare the kli. It's you are working to fix the lulav. The mana doesn't mean kli implement vaz. It means the lulav itself. You are fixing the lulav. That's what the line in the Mishnah Berurah means. So what we're saying is, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to put it back in the water that it was already in. You're allowed to add water as well. What we don't want you to do is actually change the water. That's already more like mitaken, more like you're fixing the lulav. That's the way he said to read that line in the Mishnah Berurah. Whereas, the lens is fine. Because the lens, you're not fixing the lens. So that's his
even comment. If you could say, let's say if you put the solution in before Shabbat, it's the same solution, or the solution
correct.
Used the day before.
Then you'd have no problem. Even if there was a problem. In other words, even if I were to be considered improving the lens, according to this, I would still be okay.
Right.
Yes. That's what it sounds like. That's what this sounds like, yeah. He hasn't gotten to the wandering issue yet. He's only dealing with the Mitzvah issue.
Yom Tov, then, or would it be different?
Right, so it sounds like it's a Shabbos. He blends the two and says that it's the same thing for Shabbos. However, go back into the text now, into the Nishmas Avram. He says, ach, however, Im ha'adashot nisharu b'chutz ad shekvar nityabshu. If the lenses have been outside of the water so long that they actually are dried out, like what you're talking about, you take them out and now they're dried and they're not usable. Ein l'siman shuv b'chomer hanali, says you shouldn't put them in that liquid anymore. Ki az yihya dom eledin shel hachzaras lulav l'mayim. He doesn't mean lulav. This was also part of my email to him, and he agreed to change the word. Unfortunately, I'm too late for the new edition. I have to catch the next edition. But it should say anaf, not lulav. He says it would be like putting a regular branch in water, meaning a branch that has flowers on it, something that is going to actually be affected by the water, in the sense that new life will be given to it. So what he says here, to make sure that we're being clear about what the issue is and what we're trying to say here, is that if they aren't fully dried out, then we're fine. You're just preserving their current state of functionality. If they actually aren't functional, and by putting them in the water, you're going to, in the whatever the solution, you're making them functional, then he says that shouldn't be done on Shabbos. That's what he writes. V'chol ze lefnei sheis yavshu ha'adashot, and all of this is before they have dried out. Achen is yavshu v'nis kaplu ula yesh po mishum tikun kli. But if they have in fact dried out and crumpled up, folded up, then there could be an issue of tikun kli, a problem that you are fixing it. That's the quote from Rishlomo Zalman. Clear so far? Okay. Then he continues, and he goes into the laundering issue. Kosev Hagon Rav Shlomo Yosef Shalom Al Yashiv. So Rav Yashiv wrote the following, and this whole piece, the whole rest of his discussion on this page, all the way running to the end of the discussion on the next page, is all going to be Rav Yashiv's words. He says, "Amnam halacha psuka barachaim shin beis shebeor lo nemar shriyaso zeu kibuso v'rashay lahashrosam b'mayim." He says, "We have a halacha regarding laundering things on Shabbos. The rule is that I'm not allowed to take a garment of mine and soak it in water on Shabbos. Right? Let's say I have a shirt and I get something on it at lunch on Shabbos. So I'm not going to throw it into the laundry, but I'd like to just dump it into a pail of water, and that way the stain won't dry on in the course of Shabbos. So the rule is I'm not allowed to do that. The shriyaso zehu kibuso. Soaking it is laundering it. That's the statement that he's making. So the question then is, if soaking it is considered laundering it when you're dealing with clothing, what about other materials? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that leather is not considered to be laundered when you soak it. If you have leather and you wanted to get I'm not sure leather is a good idea to do this with. I don't really know. But I imagine that putting leather in water is not necessarily the healthiest thing for it. He says, okay, but it's not called laundering. You haven't broken Shabbos in that regard. The in gam nomar d'or boleya, the hamayim chodrim l'socho. And if we say that leather is absorbent and that the water is absorbed inside, and therefore you'll say, well, maybe that is like laundering. Nonetheless, yesh lidon betiv mishal adashod maga v'chol minei, it should say nylon in dinam ka'or. Even though that may be true regarding leather, maybe there is leather for which there is such a concern, nonetheless, lenses aren't made out of leather. They're made out of plastic. And maybe they won't have the same rule. V'ayin igris Moshe yoredeya t'chelek beiz ayin vav. And he says, see the discussion that Moshe Feinstein had, the mapos shel plastic, with plastic tablecloths, where a person wants to use water to wash something off of the tablecloth. Shemikeman shein hamayim nichnasin klal l'socho. He says the water doesn't get absorbed at all in the tablecloth. El arach al gabav. It's just on the surface. Kamo eitzim. Like wood, and I don't know what he means regarding wood. Whether he means wood being on the tablecloth or water on wood. V'af harakim. Even if the tablecloth is soft, so you could say that there is no issue of laundry in that regard. And he quotes Rav Moshe who said, Mikol Makom Kamen Shlo Shayach Limtzo Dinzen Beforishtu Min Chadash Shadaros Rishonim Laro Oso. He says, still, Rav Moshe, regarding washing the tablecloth with water, Rav Moshe wrote, since this is fundamentally a new material, and previous generations did not have access to it, Min Aroi Lahach Mishlo Lishboch Bia Dayim Bechozek. He says, you shouldn't dump a lot of water on the surface to clean it. It's too much like laundering. He says, take a little stream of water and use that and squeegee it off of the table, off of the tablecloth, and that'll be fine. But his point is, you see that Rav Moshe is willing to distinguish and say plastic is not absorbent and is not like the other materials that would be problematic.
So is the plastic because it doesn't absorb, or just because it's plastic?
Because it doesn't absorb, he's saying.
Because plastics can be manipulated in many ways to do all kinds of things, right? So they have different properties depending on...
So maybe that's part of why Rav Moshe is concerned here. He isn't quite sure how to deal with plastic, precisely because of that.
The lenses are essentially plastics that absorb water, right?
Well, do they absorb water?
I think so. I think that they're dehydrated, right?
I guess if it can dehydrate, that means it must have had water inside it.
Yeah, I think there's a high water content.
No, I think that's the principle of soft lenses, as opposed to hard lenses.
Mm-hmm. So there is moisture inside of it. Interesting.
It's probably pretty porous material.
I mean, fundamentally, he has already said that leather is not considered to be a problem when you soak the leather in water, and the leather will absorb. And his question mark is, how do I view the plastics? But keep on going here in this section. He says, "Ubebir alacha simen shin beis kasav." The Bir alacha, which is credited to the Chafetz Chaim, author of the Mishnah Berurah, he wrote, "Debeor afilu im hurach af deshayach bo kibus, aval ein bo schita kol od shein orach biyoser." He says, the Bir Alacha is dealing with a separate issue, not only laundering, but also the separate concern about schita, whether I can get something wet in a way that it's going to absorb liquid, and then potentially you can squeeze it out, and that's a problem. So he says, with leather, even if it is soft, even though laundering is a concern, nonetheless, there's no concern for schita that people are going to wring it out unless it's really, really soft. Uba'or harach, and with soft leather. He says, this seems to be a redundant quote. Even though laundering is relevant, nonetheless, squeezing out is not. So the point that's relevant for us is not the schita discussion. The point is that he is willing to entertain the idea that laundering would be relevant for leather if it was very soft. We are now 5 lines up from the bottom. He's going to get to his conclusion. So he says, based on this, meaning based on the Bir Halacha statement that laundering could be relevant with soft leather, and that Rav Moshe Feinstein was concerned with plastic, that led Rav Eliashiv to say at this stage, Adashot Magan, contact lenses, which according to the experts, and here we go, we had the experts say it here, the water is absorbed in it, and they're very soft, there is room to argue that it's not appropriate to do this, to soak it in water on Shabbos. So what we've seen is Rav Shlomo Zalman not even entertaining a discussion regarding wandering. Rav Shlomo Zalman discussed, are you considered fixing it? And said, no, you're not, unless maybe it's already dried out beyond use and you're restoring it to functionality. But otherwise, Rav Shlomo Zalman was okay with it. Rav Eliashiv introduces a new factor, the concern for laundering. And he says, since soft leather has a laundering possibility, and since Rav Moshe was concerned regarding soft plastics, so therefore, he says, he isn't saying usur. He says, there's something to discuss here. But he's not done. We have, more to see. Are we clear on what we have so far? Yeah. Jeff?
Is the action of laundering merely the absorption of water, or is it that you have to have something on it, like a stain, that you're trying to launder out of this material?
The action of laundering, does it have to have visible dirt first? Is that what you're asking?
Does it have to have an intent? Does it have to have a purpose? Or is it simply allowing water to come into contact with the material and to be absorbed, which normally wouldn't have defined as laundering, but
Good question. Hold the question, because that's coming. Omnam, however, he says, Birosh Yuma Perakres Kasav, Davka Kihasam, Mayri Bebeget Sheish Olav Lichluch. This is it, right here. I didn't realize we were getting it so soon. He says, the Rosh said that this is specifically a case like the Gemara in Zevachim, which is where they talked about the hide being soaked and that being like laundering. He says, you have to be talking about clothing that has dirt on it. So that's when we say, and if you soak it, you're laundering it. But if it just has normal wear and tear, you wore it, and that, you know, to some extent dulled the color from wearing it, from using it. The koshken love on the gamri, or certainly if it's entirely white, the ena love tinuf, and there's no dirt on it. Elashrot to the love no yose, you just want to make it whiter. Lo amrinan shriaso zokibuso. Then I'm not going to say that soaking it is equal to laundering it. If you take a look on your sheet, I brought you this rush. Sor Zion. Dalet Hay and Vav were about putting the branches in water, but I'm going to skip that at this point. We dealt with it. But the but Zion, he says, Tanu Rabbanon, the Rosh is commenting on the Gemara in Yuma. Tanu Rabbanon, this is from the Gemara. Haholech lahakbil pnei rabo o pnei aviv. The Gemara says that if you are going to greet your Rebbe, or to greet your parent, or to greet someone who's greater than you, the point is in such a way that your journey is a mitzvah journey. That's the key. And it's Yom Kippur. And you're not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur. So he says, over at Tzavaro b'mayim b'eino choshesh, you can walk up to your neck in water, and it's not a problem. I always wonder when I read this, you know, in the Gemara, what kind of Yom Kippur is this? What are they doing? And where are they walking? They're, you know, I mean, are they in Missouri? What is this that they're walking up to their neck in water to go see somebody on Yom Kippur? So nonetheless, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so the Rosh says, wait a minute. You're telling me I'm not concerned about the problem of bathing on Yom Kippur, but you're washing your clothing. The reason you're not concerned about or not even, he doesn't say laundering, he says concerned about wringing out the clothing. Like we say in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara there says, if someone is walking and he encounters a pool of water on his way, what should he do? Nechos b'mayim, should he go down into the water? Come misvasin mani, his clothing is going to get soaked, vasi lidei schita, he will come to wring it out. So the Gemara in Shabbos was worried about the possibility you're going to wring out your clothing. Why wasn't the Gemara in Yuma? So the Rosh answers, disha'ani hacha, because it's different over here. Kevin shalo hitirulo, ela kiderech shahu lavush, minkara milsa velo asi lidei schita. He says, you know why? Because we will only allow you to do this on Yom Kippur, dafka, if you're clothed. If you're wearing your clothing, because otherwise there's a bathing issue. So since we're forcing you to keep the clothing on, you will remember not to wring it out. Umiyu kasha, but he says it's still problematic. Nihidlo gazrina mishum schita. So fine, we're not concerned about the possibility you're going to wring it out. Ha'ika kibus velibun. What about the issues of laundering? Kedamrina bisvachim peraktam chatas, like the Gemara in Zvachim, dishriyasa zoe kibusa, which says that soaking a garment is like laundering it. V'yesh lomar, so he says, you could answer, and this is what the Nishmas of Ram was emphasizing, didavka ki hasam, it's like the case in Zvachim. The case in Zvachim is the case where you shechted an animal, you were working in the Beis HaMikdash. Sheish olav dam, there's blood on it. Odavar meluchlach, or some other, you know, form of dirt. Tamrinan shriyaso zoe kibuso. So then we say, yeah, soaking it is laundering it. But if the garment is just darkened because of normal wear and tear or use, the koshkin love on the gamri, certainly if it's entirely white, and it has no dirt, ela sharot alav no yosi, you just want to make it whiter, lo amrinon shriyaso zoe kibuso, so we don't say that laundering it is, that soaking it is like laundering it. So Rav Yashiv quotes that to defeat the concern about laundering the lenses. The lenses are clean, you know, from anybody's, you know, whatever cleansing agent you have in there is not concerned with visible dirt. That's not what that's there for. So he wants to rely on that. Take a look, though, at source Ches, please. Ubeged she'en alav lichluch. This is the Rama writing the halacha. He says, if you have a garment that's not dirty, mutar lases alav mayim u'atim, you're allowed to put a little water on it, below merubim, not a lot of water. Why? Shema yisot, because you might come to wring it out. So in other words, his concern in this view is not for laundering, it's clean. So there's no laundering issue. The only issue is the wringing it out concern. The yesh osrim b'cholinyan. And then he says, but some people prohibit no matter what. Which you could say about many things. But he's saying it in this particular context. So he has two different views about soaking a garment that is clean. So go back into the Nishmas Avram now. We're at that second paragraph on the page. He says, ubesimen shin beis. So in what we just read in Source Ches, the Rama brought two views. Deya Rishona Keharash Visayato. One view like the Rush and his group. Deya Isorak Baofen Shiesh Ala Beged Dabar Lichluch Umius. That the prohibition is only if the garment has something dirty on it. But Ze'amrin and Shriyasa Zokibuso. That's when we say that laundering it is, that soaking it is like laundering it. Videya Shnia B'Shem Yesh Omer. And then he brought the second view. That says, you know, some disagree. V'afta l'halacha naktinan kideya rishona v'kakasa v'beir agra. So he says, as a matter of practical halacha, we follow the first view, which is the Rush's view, which is the lenient view. And that's what the Gra said. Mikomakam kasvu achronim diyesh lachu shalahach mir b'yisurei Torah. Still, if you're doing with a, we're dealing with a biblical prohibition, you know, better to be strict, he says. He says, still, even within the view that's strict, that's going to be talking about a garment which doesn't have something dirty on it, but which can be whitened by soaking it. Because you've been wearing it, and it got a little darker. But if it's new, and it's as white as it's going to get, you're not adding anything by soaking it. There's no laundering involved at all. So even according to the strict view, even without the strictest take, even if I take the strict view and say, soaking it is a laundering problem, I'm still going to be okay here. I'm still not going to have a problem in the case at hand, because in the case at hand, my contact lenses are fundamentally clean. They're not dirty in any way that anybody would recognize as dirty. They don't need whitening. Nothing along those lines. So we have Rav Shlomo Zalman saying it's fine, because he says you're not fixing it. You're simply maintaining its current level. Other than in the case where you are fixing it. And then you have Rav Eliashiv saying, well, maybe it's a problem of laundry by cleaning your contact lenses, but he says it's not a concern. Number one, because the Rush says it's not called laundering if it's not dirty. And number two, because even those who are strict will only be strict if there is some kind of cleaning going on, then on some visible level, and that's not happening in our case. So we're at the bottom paragraph now on page Shin Samaches, the bottom paragraph on the right side. Lefize. So based on this, Hayom makom lahatir im hayurochtzim eshada shows magal lifnos erev Shabbos lashrosu b'mayim Shabbos. So this is what he recommends if you want to satisfy even the strict view that Rabbi Yashiv is talking about. So this is what you should do. Wash your lenses right before Shabbos. Soak them, you know, before Shabbos. Kadesh lo yiskal kel, so that they won't get ruined, and then you won't have to worry about fixing it and so forth. Shuvra isi b'shulchan aruch harav, and he says, I also saw in the shulchan aruch harav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, v'zeh l'shon osham, this is what he wrote, v'yesh cholkin v'omrim, sh'af beged she'en lov shum lichluch, shriyaso zoi kibuso, af im libuno matzil me'od. He wrote that some disagree and say no, even if it's entirely clean and white, nonetheless, it's still a problem. V'lachein aser litein olav afilu kol shehu mayim, af al pi she'enu miskaven alibun d'psig reisho. This view of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if we have any Chabadniks here, this view of the Shulchan Aruch Harav would be, even if it's entirely clean, you still can't add water to it. Udvaro Zal Tzarech Iyun. But Rav Eliashiv says, that's very difficult. Im ba'ofen shabeged naki, if the clothing is clean, ve'emo shum tzarech v'tawalas b'shviyaso, there's nothing to be gained whatsoever by soaking it. Harei lo nase kan lom kan komalachas, he didn't do anything. And when he says, well, it's guaranteed that you're going to be cleaning it, no, you're not, because there's no cleaning to do. And he says, I saw in the Avnei Nezer, Shekasa, Vitzarech, Iyun Minayin Lozeh, the Avnei Nezer wrote, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know where he got it from. So he acknowledges that there is a point of view that says, even for something entirely clean, if I soak it, I have a problem. But he's more or less dismissive of the view. Last paragraph in this discussion. He says they actually brought out a new type of contact lens solution, which isn't a cleaning solution at all. It's just hydration, apparently. So then he says, then you could certainly permit putting the lenses in that solution. And certainly if you're then going to also wash them before Shabbos, as he recommended, if you wanted to satisfy all the views other than the Lubavitcher Rebbe, first Lubavitcher Rebbe's view, which you're never going to be able to satisfy. So that's Rabbi Yashiv's position. So Shlomo Zalman says, you're good to go. He doesn't even entertain the laundering discussion. Rabbi Yashiv says, soaking absorbent materials is an act of laundering, as seen regarding soft leather, and as seen regarding Moshe's concern with the very soft plastic tablecloths. So he says, there is such a concern, except it's clean, and therefore the Rosh is happy. And even according to the other view within the Shulchan Aruch, the other view that the Ramah quoted, this is not even going to improve in any visible way, and therefore it's not a problem. The only one who's going to have an issue is going to be the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And for the Shulchan Aruch Harav's problem, use the solution that doesn't have any cleaning agent in it at all, that's just there for hydration. I don't know, again, not a user of the solution, so I don't know what he's talking about in terms of a solution that doesn't have any cleaning agent in it. I don't know what that would mean. But you mentioned before, yes? Right, so the assumption seems to be that schita is not a consideration here, that people don't squeeze out contact lenses. The
special hydration that was part of development, you can't remove it, you're going to other removing whatever water was previously or liquid surfering was previously decided, which is now.
Well, is that from a physics perspective, is that what happens? In other words, if I take a lens out of a solution, is that gonna cause I don't think this would be a problem if it did happen, but I'm asking from a practical standpoint.
But if it's dry, they absorb the liquid.
Yeah.
And then after they're in your eye for however long,
yes.
They dry again.
Yes.
And they go into the air and they dry out.
Right. So that's true. But I don't think it will be a schita problem. Remember that the reason why schita is an issue, the reason why wringing something out is an issue, is that it's a tolda of dash, right? It's a descendant form of dash, which is threshing, where you take grain, in its original form, it's all packed together, and then you break it into its component parts. That's the threshing act, and the issue of wringing something out is you're taking a solid that had liquid, and you're pressing it in such a way that the liquid is now going to be removed. If moisture emerges from something on its own, through standard osmosis across a membrane, or whatever the proper term is, because I don't remember anymore. What's the term? Is it osmosis or is there another term for it? I feel like there's another term.
What's
diffusion? Yeah, is it diffusion? Is it diffusion when it comes out?
Well, it's a semi-permeable. Well, it's a permeable barrier, right? It must be.
Whatever it is that's causing it to leave, if it's not a result of my act of crushing it and pressing it in any way, then it's not a concern. I've never put a contact lens in my eye, but do you press the lens like against the eye in a way that'll remove liquid? If you did, that might be an interesting, question as to why they didn't
intervene. But wouldn't that be
surface tension? Because the lens, once it's hydrated, the lens is wet or moist, and then you touch it, and the surface tension keeps it adherent to your eye.
Mm-hmm. So you're not pressing it in.
You're not
Yeah. I mean,
take it out of the thing, you can shake off the excess water, but that's water that's sitting on the surface as opposed to removing water that's in the lens, because the lens already has.
Right. And there's also the fact that, generally speaking, our concern for srita is where you want the liquid. Right? If this is happening at all, it is, you know, it's not something that I'm desiring. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not saving the liquid for something else. It's, you know, it's holy liquid entirely. It's gone. So maybe that's why they don't even entertain that as a as an issue. Okay.
I think the better analogy is something spilled on a plastic tablecloth and you wipe it off. Is that permitted or not?
What would be the problem?
I don't know. If it's permitted to wipe something off the tablecloth, that, to my mind, is the same analogy as taking your contact lens out of the solution. And at most, you remove whatever excess water.
So that we had no problem. We even read from Rav Moshe that he was good with that. His concern was only dumping water on a tablecloth that you think will absorb on some level, or looks like it is absorbing, because that's what tablecloths normally do, even if this plastic one doesn't. Right.
So what about if you're in a show and it's raining outside, it's pouring, so if you walk home, are you wondering your suit or your shirt or srita?
Right, so assuming your clothing is clean, you're in the case that we discussed from the Rosh and Yuma, right, in which he said that your clothing is clean, this isn't an act of wondering. I'll actually go further in your case. Your case is even better, because there it's what we call derech lichluch. In other words, everybody knows that if you walk in the rain in your suit, you're going to have to go to the dry cleaner to clean it. This is bad for your suit.
Yeah, I know.
So that's actually good from a Shabbos perspective, because we talk about washing things in a manner of dirtying them, and we say that that's not a problem of laundering. It comes up in a variety of circumstances. So is there a concern that you might come to wring it out? Yes, that's a potential consideration. So bring your raincoat to shul.
What about your leather shoes?
Well, the leather shoes, we say the leather there is not absorbent. If it's absorbent, you have other problems with your shoes.
Yeah, I know that. I don't want it. I don't want it.
But that's treated not to be absorbent. As far as I know, that will be in the first category of leather that we talked about. We said that soaking it is not an act of wandering it. It doesn't absorb. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start on the next topic. We won't finish it, but it's one that comes up all the time in discussions of medical halacha and Shabbos. You've all heard this question before. We know that we have a rabbinic prohibition against taking medicine on Shabbos. We override that prohibition in the case that someone is bedridden with illness, unable to function, and so on and so forth. Low fevers, whatever the case may be. Let's say you have somebody who had strep throat, which was diagnosed on Sunday. They started on their antibiotics on Monday. They've now been on a course of antibiotics already for 4 days. They have no symptoms whatsoever. They are not better. They're doing just fine. If they skip their antibiotic on Shabbos, they will still not feel a thing. No impact whatsoever. Are they allowed to take their dose on Shabbos? What's the rule?
Yes, because they've been taking it all.
So that's right. That's conventional wisdom, is we know somehow that you're allowed to continue to take your medication because you started before. What's the logic behind it?
Could come back.
Yeah.
Could come back. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's because it could come back. What we're going to see now is the discussion of what the logic is. What exactly it is that allows us to do this. It was very interesting. I had a fellow, a psychiatrist who's up at the Bayit, who asked me a question regarding kids who have ADD, and they're taking medication in order to focus and to control it. So are they allowed to take that on Shabbos? So I sent the question to the Nishmas Avram, and as part of an answer, he invoked this principle of it's a medicine that you're taking already, and it's part of a course. Now, there it isn't a 7-day thing. It's, you know, until they.
We did this once in another class. We covered it.
We covered what?
We had this discussion.
The discussion about continuing the medicine.
Even like in the case of Paxil, because it stays in your system, right? The medication.
All of these have fundamentally the same questions. That's what he's going to address here. Jeff?
I have two thoughts. First of all, I think strep throat is a bad example because, as I understand it from med school 30 years ago, the antibiotic that is not actually meant to treat your throat infection. It's meant to prevent heart and kidney damage from the strep
really?
Organism.
I think it's with the sore throat.
It's to prevent
subacute bacterial endocarditis.
Post-pulmonary
nephritis.
You're shattering what I've bought for 40 years.
So let's use ear infection, because there it's meant to treat. But then you have another issue, which is very relevant in our time, which is we tell people, don't stop your antibiotics in the middle, because that creates a problem on a societal level where you get the resistant organisms. So I would hope that there's some rationale there to...
This is what we have to see. He's going to discuss here this question.
What if, just to make one complexity on it, what if it's something like a statin that really one dose a week probably wouldn't make a difference, but you still are in the habit of taking them every...
So good. I'm sure that a lot of people don't take the statins on Shabbat.
Yeah, we don't take them at all anyway.
That's about 30%. That's about 40% of the people you describe it to.
So this is exactly what we need to explore. We're going to see three different justifications for why one continues. The rule is you do continue the dose that you've been taking all along. Statin, antibiotic, ADD medication, whichever case you want to give. But what we'll need to see is why, and there may be ramifications to which argument you use. There may be distinctions to be drawn here. So, like I said, we'll start it, but it's good. We're going to have to continue the substance of it next time. The line itself that we need to see is at the top of the page, the Shulchan Aruch, in Seif Yud Ches. He's talking about a cure called chiltis. Chiltis is a very strong and sharp herb. And they used it as some kind of a medicinal treatment for some disorder. And so the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ein shorin es hachiltis lava poshin velo betzoninin, shederech lishroso," or it should say lishtoso, "lerefua." He says, don't soak chiltis if you're not taking it medicinally, you're eating it. So he says, don't soak it in lukewarm water, poshrin, and don't soak it in cold water either, because that's the way they do it when they prepare it as a medication. But what you can do is put it in vinegar, metabolo pito, and dip your bread in it, because that's the way people normally would eat it if they were eating this herb as a food. Let's say it was soaking from the day before. So muter lishroso, and again it should say lishtoso, b'shabbos. You're allowed to drink it then on Shabbos because the soaking was already done and you're fine. B'mshasa mimenu, and here's the key. B'mshasa mimenu yom chamishi v'yom shishi. If you already drank it as a medicine on Thursday and on Friday, v'tzarech lishtos gam b'shabbos, and you have to drink it on Shabbos too, muter, that's allowed. Shekeinu derech refuaso lishtoso shiva yamim ze'achar ze, because that's what we do for this cure. We drink it 7 days in sequence. Hilkach, therefore, and I don't think I reproduced the pages beyond that. Therefore, you're allowed to drink the rest of it. I didn't get that far in my Xeroxing. So what we're going to have to talk about is what the justification is, but you've seen the rule in the Shulchan Aruch, you continue the treatment that you already began. So I think, realizing what time it is, we'll start with that, God willing, next time, which will be in 2 weeks. Next week is the special session with the CME credit on cosmetic surgery. We're not only...